Hello and welcome to the DVA podcast. Just a quick heads up, we're doing things a bit differently today. In a moment, my colleague Sabrina will do a German introduction. This is, after all, a German podcast. But then the actual interview will all be in English. So don't be scared, stick with us, or just jump ahead in your podcast player if you want to dive straight into my conversation with Berta and Adelaide from Right to the City for All.
Die Deutsche Wohnen ist einer der größten Vermieter in Berlin und ganz Deutschland.
Privaten Wohnungsunternehmen wie Vonovia oder Deutsche Wohnen vor, nur an steigenden Mieten interessiert zu sein.
Die Deutsche Wohnen profitiert vom Wohnungsmangel.
Die Initiative Deutsche Wohnen und Co. enteignen.
Deutsche Wohnen und Co. enteignen, Spekulation bekämpfen, diese Kampagne.
Die Initiative Deutsche Wohnen und Co. enteignen.
Hallo liebe Leute, willkommen bei Von Menschen und Mieten, dem DWE-Podcast. Ich bin Sabrina und wie ihr soeben von Wouter gehört habt, machen wir es diesmal ein bisschen anders. Das Gespräch, das ihr gleich hören werdet, ist auf Englisch. Nicht, weil unsere Gäste kein Deutsch sprechen, aber wir möchten dieses Gespräch auch für nicht-deutschsprachige MieterInnen zugänglich machen. Heute sprechen wir mit Adelaide Ivanova und Berta Del Ben, zwei sehr engagierten DWElerinnen, die aktiv sind in der Gruppe Right to the City for All. Diese englischsprachige Community hat sich 2020 innerhalb von DWE gegründet und sie entstand aus dem Bedürfnis heraus, einen Raum zu schaffen für MieterInnen mit unterschiedlichen Sprachen und mit Migrationserfahrungen. Mittlerweile ist die Right to the City Gruppe ein hochvernetztes und hochkreatives DWE-Organ und Wouter hat mit den beiden über ihre Rolle innerhalb der Initiative gesprochen, über die Schwierigkeiten rund um Zugang und Sprache und wie anders Aktivismus interpretiert und gelebt werden kann. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
We're here to talk about Right to the City for All, R2C, the work group that you are both a part of. And let me just dive right straight in. What is this work group? What does it do? Where did it come from? And what kind of role does it have within the campaign?
So the idea of Right to the City, the idea for first generation migrants working group within Deutsche Wohnen Enteignen came from organizing experience, from practice. So in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, or early 2018, the Stadthilfe, which is another working group from Deutsche Wohnen, was organizing tenants in the CEFCO kids in Berlin, and they were confronted with the very concrete reality that Spanish tenants and German tenants were living in the same buildings, having the same landlord and facing completely different issues with the landlord. And not only the issues were different, but there was many difficulties in organizing these two groups together against this common bad landlord. So there was a lot of prejudice involved, but also the language barrier was real, and the Stadthilfe was confronted with their own inability of solving the question. So they started doing really serious thinking about how can we go about this and what is necessary to build within the campaign a structure that can welcome people that are not okay with the German language, precisely in this case for European migrants that came a lot to Berlin after the 2008-2009 crisis, which also includes Greeks and many other South European communities. So this is when the first Funke of Right to the City was born, was being confronted with really concrete organizing issues. And then because I had done with the Stadthilfe a workshop some months before on how to organize tenants, they contacted me through Lucas, who was also a part of Stadthilfe and then was a part of Right to the City, of starting to develop a concept, what is necessary. And I was really glad to be able to be part of it because I speak German, but my German is not ideal to organize German tenants. It's not, perfect enough, and I'm brown. So there's a lot of nuances to the complication. So this is how it was born. Then I joined Stadthilfe to the best of my capacities with my precarious German. I joined Stadthilfe with the aim of of building this structure of Right to the City. We had 1 year of preparation meeting. We had conversations with a lot of migrant groups that were already organized and gathering their experiences in organizing in the city as migrants. Then the concept of Right to the City was born.
Maybe we can start with this language idea, because mm-hmm. we purposefully chose to speak in English today and decided not to do in German, even though all three of us can speak German and yes. we regularly do speak German with each other in the idea of the campaign. But we chose to do an English interview, an English conversation today, also being mindful of all the people that maybe not are able to listen to this conversation if it were in German. Language, however, is also sort of a key issue, I'd say, in what Right to the City does. And maybe Bertha, you can talk yes. a little bit about the role that language plays, maybe the difficulty also, German, English, and then within Right to the City. What do you speak within Right to the City?
Within Right to the City, we speak English, and it's very important to know that the majority of these people, like, we have some native English speakers, but the majority of us is actually not native English speakers. A lot of people, a lot of Berliners have different languages. And for us at the moment, English is still the one that we have in common. But we always try to say that we really welcome unperfect English and unperfect German. And it's not only about the language. I think when we start to do politics in a different language and in a different culture, is not only about the way, it's also about how do you think in the language, how do you think in the culture where you come from. And then the meeting, it's really like more than just like speaking different languages. It's really like a more, I wouldn't say, if, I don't know if it's this identity, because now if I can speak to myself, I do political work in German, in English, and myself, I speak in Italian, and sometimes I also work in Italian. So I don't know what, like, I am three. I'm not only one language. I bring all of them. But anytime the space is different, how do I access to it? And if it's not my mother tongue, then anytime I need to negotiate and adapt and compensate and work for that. And so, especially when we go into an environment of German politics, which at the moment, from my experience, is a lot text-based, has a lot of complex and a very structural structure, then the access is, it's not only just knowing the language, it's also being able to find a way in the structure.
It sounds like a lot of extra work. On top of the activism that we're yeah. all excited for, that we want to be doing, there is this whole extra step that yeah. you have to be aware of. Let me ask you something that's related to that, because not only are we speaking English now, even though we all speak German? I'm not entirely sure, but I know for myself, I'm not a German citizen. Mm. You're not a German citizen.
Me neither.
So we're all three not German citizens. We didn't even get to have a vote yeah. in the referendum, you know, that we were campaigning for. Mm. So how is it to be part of a group of people, Right to the City? It's not everybody in Right to the City doesn't have a German pass, I think, but I think it's important to ask this question about how do you motivate yourself for something that you're not even able to express yourself into, in having a vote into?
Well, actually, we're all tenants, right? So the thing about the motivation of wanting to doing something for the condition of living, it's really like has no barriers, because it's the majority of the people having that. And especially people who don't have a network already in the town to find an apartment or these kind of things struggles more with that. So we bound, like when we find together, and that's the same thing that we have in common with the majority of the people also inside the campaign, is that we kind of live in tenants, like we have too much rent to pay, and this is conditions of like all these kind of problems, we have them. So like I would say a discomfort and a rage about this condition is there. And the thing is that that is actually the other way around. Like the fact that the campaign, like thanks to also to our work before I came, but also to say that to the campaign said, we are aware that this is a struggle, but still we want to fight together because this is the problem from us all. That's the key. Like for me personally, that was the call that brought me in. Mm-hmm. Even if I know that the campaign was existing, like the fact that we say, okay, how can we cope with that? Like, how do we do this? We take care. So I felt like being in a campaign where there was also space to say, yes, still, I can't fight on the same level, but we can still do this together. And then, and that was it for me, at least.
Now, a big part also of how Rights of the City came into existence and its activism ever since was also to make aware people of the fact that lots of people could not vote. You know, the fact that 20-25% of Berliners don't have a pass and cannot have a say in this referendum. So Rights of the City brought that to awareness. Eventually, there's a whole coalition that came out of it, Demokratie für alle, Democracy for All, that had its specific demands. DWA, the campaign itself, however, has always had a very specific one issue goal, namely the socialization or expropriation of housing or these housing, the big concerns. I remember like these demands, the things that you brought awareness to, also brought difficulty within the campaign. People were saying, well, the issues you bring as Right to the City or that are there are deviating from our one goal, you know, that we have, the expropriation of the houses. How did you deal with all of this? How did you see this debate unfold within the campaign?
Do you want to go?
No, just a thing to start. It's like, that's the question on how, like when people decided to make a referendum, they actually to take a mean of fight that it's democratic and is structured in this way, they also decided to fight for against this mean. Like there is that decision was already there, like if you're aware or not, the campaign choose that means with the limits that it has. And if that didn't, like, the things would have been there with even if the campaign wouldn't embrace that. The fact will be that the people that were excluded would still been excluded. And we have still a lot of people that are excluded from our campaign and our activity. And then the second question is like, for who do we want this resocialization? For who is the Vergesellschaftung? If it's not for all Berliner, then it's not by Vergesellschaftung. And this is not something, and I think that when I say this, it's about me that I can't vote, but I think I hope that it's also for a lot of other people that have this sensibility to also say, for who actually I'm doing this. And I'm trying to do it for everyone, at least I try to be majoritarian, how do you say that? And this is inside the referendum, this is inside voting, having a campaign, like a voting campaign, an election campaign. Like we already choose to be out and big. And again, it's not about being complex, but it's really in the decision of like using this democracy way of fighting that all the other decisions are just consequences of it. And so for the people who say, well, actually that lose extra energy, then I think we are the living example that we actually brought more energy to the campaign. Like just make the case of the cheerleading group, like everything that came by involving people that otherwise wouldn't have been involved, that supported the campaign instead of putting energy out. And that's a fact. It's not my opinion. So that's how it is, right?
Yeah. I would add a third point to this, which is you don't win a political campaign only with the vote. You need the support. You don't have the luxury in a city that 20-25% of the people are non-German citizens, and you're fighting, you know, like every support counts because it's a very polemic demand. You need not only the votes, but you need the support. You need some type of vibe, sort of say, in the city. And what I think it's strategically speaking, it's also smart to involve these people. We have seen in the last couple of months how other campaigns failed to address this topic. I'm not going to name any campaign, but I was refused signing. You know, people stopped me in the street in the last couple of months. And then when I say like, but my signature is not valid, they will be like, okay, thank you. And I'm like, oh my God, you don't know what you're missing. You're missing so much support here, which, you know, it's like, so you, having this strategic view of like, how can we build majority that not only people vote for us, but that people are talking about us and think, and you know, and then it reflects a little bit on your question before. Why should people that are not allowed to vote join the campaign? exactly because they cannot vote. It's a way of doing, of being much more, creating much more impact than only signing. And it's a way of compensating the lack of signature with the intensity of how you can change things through joining a movement.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about what makes Right to the City special, not just in the fact that it has or that it has a migrant perspective, or at least brings that into the campaign itself. But it's also, there's lots of people from all over the world who are in this group, who bring their own experience, maybe from political campaigning back home. I mean, we're talking here about Berlin, maybe even Germany. There's lots of countries in the world, and lots of countries do things very differently all over the place. So maybe we could talk a little bit about what kind of things Right to the City does to make activism a bit different.
The point is just having like to do a work that it's very excellent on being clear in the structure. Like this, how is a meeting going? Like the meeting is like this. This is going to happen. We have the points. We start like this. We close like this. And at the moment we have like, we start with an ice break and then we close with an open mic when everybody can say something, and then share the roles, like having them, having like, we have a facilitator for every meeting, a note taker for every meeting, somebody who is then, and then we close by assigning these roles to another person. And this kind of things makes the task accessible, it's and easy to join, it's easy to join. And so the principle, and I don't know, maybe you know this, but I don't know if this comes from already knowing that we're going to be so different and being together. That's why we need a structure that it's where we all meet. It's the welcoming things. It's like having a space where we do this. And then also this kind of saying, like starting, but I think I'm quoting you saying this, but starting that everybody has comes with a knowledge, so that everybody comes in the things of like, you don't need to prove or to learn something to be an activist, because if you are here and you want to do something and you have a proposal, we just say yes. Maybe it doesn't go till the end, but we're trying to support each other instead of checking if you are good enough or not.
And maybe to make this a bit more personal, I would like to also ask you, you're from Italy.
Yeah.
You were also politically active in Italy. And then you come to Berlin and you become politically active here in Berlin, in Germany. What are some of the things that you sort of like are very excited for that are happening here in German activism, or maybe this specific campaign? And maybe some of the things you're like, oh man, that's really difficult. I don't know how to, I don't know how they do it, but I don't want to do this kind of activism. You know, you have some examples to that regard?
Yes, I do. I need to say that actually it took me 10 years to become active again. And it's my personal history, but it's also like that before I never found an entrance point. So that speaks for Right to the City, to my experience, that that was for me welcoming into activism. And I think I really love these facilitation things, that everything is structured and it makes me feel, I wouldn't say safe, but like, okay, somebody's taking care of this. And the other, I don't know, because I had, we mentioned before, now we were here, a lot of people came to Berlin from South Europe for the crisis. And so I've been there in Italy when we had demonstration against this crisis and cutting for the university. So kind of I have, I don't know if it's a privilege, but I'm very happy that I was able to leave a social movement that was a move, a national movement that was very big. And in that,
this is in Italy. Right?
That was in Italy, yeah. 2008, 2010, kind of was a wave in two waves, I don't know, that also we didn't want. Nothing, and a lot of people also went, I think, in different countries. But having that experience that we had to go day to day to say, okay, what do we do tomorrow? And just like being creative, okay, how can we do more? Like, what do we occupy next? And then we had a lot of proposal, okay, we do this and that, like trying to have, and also a lot of spontaneity, which I kind of tend to think that it's not the same that is in Germany happens. Like, I wouldn't say that. But I don't know, there is the opera also from Laura Tibor. It's not that the movement is not creative, but it's still, I wouldn't say it's a little bit more structured than the spontaneity I was used to. Like I was used to, we want to do something now, we go out and we do it. And now it's like, I want to do something. I need to make a proposal. I need to go to the meeting, and then the meeting need to discuss it. And then I need to give it 2 weeks because they need to discuss. And then we need to take a decision. And in the meantime, I already don't want to do these things anymore, right? So this kind of like, this is a little bit for me, maybe the answer I have now.
Basis demokratisch.
Yes, this is Basis Democratic, and that's a lot of work. If you imagine if you do it with two different languages, you want to have a, you have an idea in English, you need to go to the other group in German, and then you need to report back, and then you need to have a discussion. So, whoa, in the meantime, you're old. So,
What about you, Adelaide? I mean, I know you have also been politically active in Brazil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about sort of some of the similarities or also differences that you've encountered.
Actually, I would like to just go back a little bit to the question that you did before, which is about what does Right to the City has that it could be like special. And when we were developing the idea of what this group should look like and have or offer, one of the contributions that I could bring to this process was sharing how it is to be a non-German person in German groups. So I was active before in other places. And usually what you encounter is whether you are patronized or you're treated with total disregard, you know, your political intelligence, your ideas, your concept. What do you think about Berlin? What do you think about German politics? People just don't take you as seriously. And when we were creating the concept of Right to the City, it was like from the beginning, it is everybody who joins is going to be taken seriously because everybody who joins knows what it is to be a tenant. And probably if they've been politically active before, they bring their knowledge from their previous country. So how, because it's not enough to create a group and say like, we welcome everybody. It's not enough to have the chairs so that people are, you have to have the microphones for the people who join and that they feel, I don't like the word, but that they feel empowered to make suggestions and bring their knowledge. So this is something that we took really serious from the beginning when we were conceiving Right to the City. And I think this is what's special. You don't have to prove yourself before you get a protagonist role in Right to the City. You just have to join and, you know, and the fact also that we don't hierarchize, I don't know if this word exists, but there's no hierarchy between someone who, you know, there is someone who answers and reads the emails and there is someone like Berta who takes a lot of public speaking. For us, this is the same importance, which is already comforting because then everyone has skills and then the shy people, for example, don't feel that they are not taking seriously or being appreciative. I think this is really something that I didn't have that before in German groups. But then again, coming back to the previous experience in the Northeast Brazil, I also think that the fact that and when I arrived in Germany, I had the feeling that everybody was doing politics, hiding their faces, you know, and no one wanted to take group photos. No one wanted to take solo photos. You cover your face in the demonstrations. You don't want to have your face in social media. And that for me was really strange. And I think you have to humanize the anti-capitalist struggle and be like, you know, we're tenants and this is our face. And, you know, we're mothers, daughters, sisters, we're everybody's friends, we're neighbors from each other. And this is something that I think also, this is something that DVE does quite well, that we have faces, everybody knows who we are, have nothing to hide. And the knowledge of being active in Brazil and having to like, even though we were in danger of being killed many times, when you're occupying land in Brazil, the police are going to come and they're going to shoot you. And still we're like, oh, yeah, this is our, you know, this is our faces right here. So I think this is something that, and we go to demonstrations and we do occupations with a lot of instruments. We sing music, we do theater. Yeah. So I think
let's talk about that.
Sorry for my monologue.
No, it's great. You just spoke about theater a little bit, and I'd like to talk a bit about some of the things that came out right of the city, like, for example, the cheerleading team, the fashion show, highly, highly theatrical performances. And I'm not going to lie, when I hear it for the very first time that we're going to have a cheerleading team or even the fashion show, I was a bit like, oh, yeah, that's fun. You know, that's cool. There's some people doing some sort of different activism. But then actually seeing the impact that cheerleading had within demonstrations, the impact that the fashion show had, which was a whole theater, like it was a theatrical display, right? Displaying what this whole campaign is about. It made a huge impact on how I felt as an activist, you know, being part of all of that. So I'd like you to maybe talk a little bit about where these ideas come from to have a cheerleading team, you know, and have a fashion show as part of a really serious campaign.
Like Matteo came with the idea Let's do cheerlead. Matteo is a member of our Ride to the City with the City group. I think they join us in May or something like this. And we did together the rally and 29 of May. We did a rally all together in Tempel Offerfeld. And then we had actually a very good rally because we had some speeches and then dancing and like the atmosphere was already like, I don't know, just positive and joyful. And of course, keynote, like joy is not, it's I wouldn't say that it's well known for everybody, but of course it's in, at least in my, but I think also in our political convincement that to make politics, like to share experience, it's also about creating good moments when we are together, because if we don't do that, like it's not like, it's already a lot of work to fight. And if we don't enjoy it, if we don't find a way to rejoice and stay together and appreciate how amazing we are and what we are doing, then that's really, we lack a moment of that it's already there. We just need to appreciate that. And that helps us being together and that helps us like shine even bigger. And so I think the link is that we had like the cheerleading idea came at the end of the second phase when we had like a gathering of Ride to the City. And then we just had this idea that was in the air, like we did a little bit of fun and that was it. But then we regathered and he said, hey, are you still serious about that? I said, okay, I'm game. We just do it. And we want to cheer. We want to honor the people that are doing this campaign, and also we want to shout and scream, because we said sometimes, no, we can't vote but we can cheer, so let's scream. We also want to occupy space starting from us and not starting from how do you need to perform politics, as you said before, like dress in black and cover your face. No. yes and maybe colors and a smile and shouting, it's maybe works. And the press loved us because I think it was new, it was fresh, and it also like trying to make a campaign that is not only for categories of people, that is actually for everyone, and that maybe can speak to people that are maybe not interested in joining us, but can still see us as powerful. So that was all of the things coming together. And the idea of the fashion show was pretty similar, like with Elmer, who actually did also part of the VVA campaign, and these things are like, okay, just do it. And that comes also from the trust of the people organizing this trust and fest to say, yeah, you have half an hour, do it. And for me myself, it's very important I'm also very happy that it works, that we also share moments where it's difficult to do this campaign. Like it's nice, we are a lot of people, but it's a lot of work and nobody is paid for this. And we all have our lives, our jobs, our relationships. Some of them are suffering because we are activism. And for me, it's very important that we also take care of each other. And of course, I'm not doing it perfectly or right. But if we can create half an hour when we are together, when we feel, and that's the power of theater for me, when I kind of know, okay, that's where my competences of performer on stage can help and support that moment.
So for me personally, those kind of things really push the boundaries for what activism can be. And that's very important for me because it really opens my mind to what it can be and how you feel together. Adelaide, what would you say, where would you like to see sort of DVA develop towards? What kind of like forms of activism would you think we would like to maybe embrace a bit more? Do you have any sort of like things that are your personal project or your vision or things that you take with you from your previous experience that you'd like to think, I'd love for us to be more going in that direction?
I think that groups that got the size of DVA need to commit with the idea of internal care and how not only to grow, but also to keep the activists inside. And I think we are more or less in the right direction as DVA, taking this work of seriously, like of the internal strengthening of our bonds with each other. Some of us know each other in DVA since 2008, and you know, there's a relationship in there, whether it is you like the person or not, but there's a conviviality between strangers fighting together for a cause. And if you don't find ways of making these relationships long term, it's more or less going to fail. And this is not only for DVA related, it's everything related to anti-capitalist struggles, I think. And some groups do this better than others. And I think DVA has a commitment since 1 year or more, 1.5 years, has a commitment of looking at the issue, at least. If we're doing the right steps, I still don't know. So I would love for us to think of DVA also being something that belongs to the city, even for non-activists, but also for those who are inside.
Can I add a thing? I think it's also crucial if we want to build communities, like we're talking about, like we want to build the AOR on this Mietenräte and everything like this.
The councils of the tenants,
and then like try to, once we have these houses, to administrate them with participation and stuff. These questions are so crucial to how will this project last, because we can't just like putting it together and then see if everybody's good. We need to do it from the top, and of course it's very difficult because it needs to create community and also stability, like not like to be like that it stay longer. That's the problem, and it's the thing is like I think also like if we don't do it inside our campaign, it's very difficult that we can produce it in the or things that we organize. But also how can do also the opposite? Like how can this organizing, like how can we this, how much knowledge is out there that we don't know about how we can stay together? Because that's right to the city we said at the beginning, right? It's actually also right of staying together in a common space and trying to be peaceful with each other. And so that aspect it's so crucial and it's so relevant and it's so political, and that's I think that's the next step and that's the challenge, because I'm not sure how many people in the campaign at this moment that are listening to me say I totally resonate with that, and some people will also go, what's that hippie shit you're talking about, right? But it's really like the question is like the invitation is to reflect, and if we don't do that together, the content and the structure, and if we working together and also reflect on how we work together, then it's very difficult to create stability and to find a community.
I can't personally wait what all the beautiful projects are going to be that come out of Ride of the City in the next couple of months and years, you know. That's I'm very excited for that. I want to thank you so much for being here today and talking to me so openly and making a big case for warmth and personal relations and a different kind of activism maybe also. So thank you so much, and yeah, hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you, Wouter.
It was an absolute pleasure talking to these Ride to the City legends, and for me, a really inspiring insight in what activism can be. If you agree and now feel inspired to save Berlin from greedy landlords, to join our fight, this is your moment to shine. Become part of Ride to the City. Bring your magic. Be inspired and learn from the amazing activists that are part of DWE. All the information you need to contact us are in the show notes of this episode. I'm also very happy to announce that as of this week, DWE has its own English newsletter, coming out monthly and bringing you news about our campaign, the politics around housing, and other tenant city news. This newsletter promises to become your activist hotspot. You'll find the subscription link in the notes of the show. And one of the topics of our recent newsletter is the redistribution demo coming up this Saturday, November 12th. Together with about 50 other organizations like Extinction Rebellion, DiEM25, Fridays for Future, the Berlin Tenant Association, and the healthcare movement, we take to the streets to show that we're fed up with the near constant crises we're facing. Redistribute now. Join us this Saturday, November 12th at 1 o'clock in front of the Red City Hall, the Rotes Rathaus. Be there.
Nächste Folge sprechen wir mit Iman und Kamel über nichts weniger als die berühmt-berüchtigte Expertinnenkommission. Warum wurde die ins Leben gerufen? Was spielt sich da eigentlich genau ab? Und wann können wir mit Ergebnissen von den Expertinnen rechnen? Und mit welchen Ergebnissen? Ja, wir versprechen euch auf jeden Fall einen hochinteressanten Einblick hinter die Kulissen der bisher sehr intransparenten Kommission. Also abonniert euch den Podcast und verpasst keine Folge mehr. Es ging wieder um Menschen und Mieten. Gebt es weiter und versucht selber jeden Tag ein bisschen zu vergesellschaften. Beim Frühstücken, auf der Arbeit oder in der Beziehung mit euren Liebsten. Wir sagen vielen Dank und wir hören uns beim nächsten Mal.
Okay.
I'm just gonna steal the mic.
Yeah. You just say no, Adelaide, that's wrong.
No, you're saying bullshit. Shut up. I can say it better.